We're joined now by our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, good morning.
And good morning to you, and thanks for coming in on this President's Day. It's really great to hear your voice, Jim, and I know how hard you work during the week, and we all appreciate this extra service.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, first off, following the fumbled start in Iowa, fears are being raised about potential reporting and security issues in this week's Nevada Democratic presidential caucus. How might that mindset of impending trouble impact voters?
Well, it might. Some people may stay away. If you're looking at the television, you're already seeing in the early voting people lined up and not happy about it. Look, caucuses are stupid. I'm sorry. Why complicate what is basically an easy thing to do, which is you get in, you cast a ballot in a primary. These caucuses become very difficult to manage. We already see what happened in Iowa. They're trying not to replicate it by not using the same app in this case that they were using before in Iowa. And in the case of Nevada, they are trying to avoid that. Nevertheless, you see long lines, you see unhappy people. To me, it makes no sense. The other thing is that it's discriminatory. If you have to spend a lot of time standing in a line or moving from one place to another in a gym or the rest of it, the people who can afford that are often, not always, but often the people who have that time and that leisure. It is not easy to do. And therefore, some people who are dependent on time in terms of making money, making minimum wage, they can't do it. So it's not a good idea. And, one of the problems is that you have Iowa, which has a caucus, and by staying first in the nation, they get inordinate publicity, and they're not about to give that up. And in Nevada, it's pretty early, too. There ought to be a primary, we have such a thing in Super Tuesday. Nevertheless, it ought to be nationwide. And this business about giving inordinate publicity and money to some little states so that they can go first is just crazy.
Well, going off of all that, we'll go with the current situation. Who do you think will win Nevada?
Oh, I have no idea whatsoever. I do know that it's quite a contest. I think Bernie is ahead in the polls, and that shows his rise to the nomination is there. One has to assume that if he wins Nevada, and after he's done extremely well in the first two states, one has to assume that this is good news for Bernie. Look, Joe Biden was the great favorite going in. The polls were all showing him way, way ahead. That's disappeared. So we should all take caution from that. To me, when you take a look at Mike Bloomberg, for example, he's coming up fast. The other candidates are all attacking him. They're saying he's trying to buy this. The question is, will they be able to put a hold on his rise in the polls and his popularity? He's spending an inordinate amount of money on advertising, and I have to say, they're very, very good ads. For example, he has one in which most of the ad is Obama talking about how good Bloomberg is. Now, it's not from now. Nevertheless, it's a great ad. The others are scared of this because one of the reasons they go around and raise as much money as they do is because they want to be competitive in advertising. Nobody is going to be able to be competitive with a guy who is spending all of this money. Now, is this illegal? No. Is it unwise? Well, we'll see whether the American people will heed the words of the competitors who's saying he's trying to buy the election, which seems to me to be sort of as American as apple pie.
Following last month's highly discussed interview between NPR's Mary Louise Kelly and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, as well as President Trump's recent budget plan to eventually zero out funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, NPR affiliates are reporting spikes in donations. That's according to the New York Times. Ellen, what does that say about public media in today's political landscape?
Hey, don't kid yourself. The president knows that the people who listen to NPR stations around the country, I think specifically the WAMC in our area, are people who think. The last thing this guy wants are thinking. He wants big arenas with lots of cheering, Make America Great Again hats, and the kinds of things that we have seen him do from the very beginning of his presidency. So he says zero out the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is giving the money. Let me say, from Ronald Reagan on, there's always been an attempt to do this. Congress people don't like it for good reason. You know, they are covered. They get publicity in their own districts. They're not happy about the idea that you would start to censor whether or not people were going to be able to hear things by cutting out the dollars. I think it's fair to say it won't be easy, but if WAMC, for example, based on its record-breaking recent efforts in a fund drive, if WAMC continues to do as well as it is, we could do it. People would understand. They would give a little bit more. They would make up a substantial 10% of the budget, which we get from federal and state sources. Nevertheless, I think the chances of his succeeding this are not good. Congress people have told the New York Times and others that they are not interested in zeroing out the money for public broadcasting. What is difficult and what will be difficult is that the smaller stations, the tiny ones that have five full-time workers working for them, they'll be at the greatest risk because they depend on the federal money in a way that the big stations don't, because they have so many good, wonderful donors who are not going to let it go away. My sense of it is that it won't work. Jim, if it does go forward and the president has his way and they zero out the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we'll be ready, we'll be there, and so will our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, thank you.
And thank you, Jim, for your always stimulating and good questions. Appreciate it.